Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, layering up the pasta sheets of chat, pouring over the bolognese of good humour, pouring over the bechamel of friendship, sprinkling over a little bit of cheesy fun to make the lasagna of content.
It's high time you did a lasagna one at the top.
I fucking love lasagna.
I love lasagna! That is Ed Gamble. My name is James Acaster. This is the Off Menu podcast, and we invite a guest to our dream restaurant and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish, and drink. Not in that order. And this week our guest is
Fern Brady. Might be time to make my annual lasagna.
Yeah?
My lasagna. Yeah.
Lasagna. Yeah.
I only make it because I put so much stuff in it. It's so utterly unhealthy. It's like a bomb. It's like a calorie bomb. Yeah. I can only make it once a year and then freeze portions and sort of break them out when I need them.
Invite me over for lasagna day.
Please. Come over for the inaugural lasagna day.
Yeah, I'll come over for the inaugural lasagna.
Yeah.
One of the things I had in Disney World was, which I'm sure I'll bring up Disney World food throughout the podcast.
Oh, you're going to drip feed that stuff for years, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm going to drip feed it for years.
Yeah.
But one of the things I had from the French booth in Epcot was a free cheese beignet where the middle of the beignet was basically bechamel sauce and like a cheesy beignet, and it was very good.
Oh, I bet.
Only on holiday would you eat something so indulgent, so so decadent.
That's not true.
No.
You'd eat that now?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
I'd have it now.
You'd eat that for lunch when we were doing a full work day?
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd eat it whenever.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, guilt-free though.
Yeah.
Only on holiday.
Sure. When I was in Disneyland, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You've probably had this one, Benito. Had a pretzel with cheese sauce and jalapeno in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
It is, to date, the saltiest thing I have ever eaten.
And that's Ed Gamble saying that.
Yeah.
A savoury boy.
And I eat bowls of salt like cereal.
He does. Yum, 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 yum.
I mean, it was, delicious, but I had to get a bottle of water to drink after every bite I took of that thing.
Like you're in the desert.
Yeah.
Fern Brady is a fantastic comedian.
So good.
All three of us sitting around this table, Benito included, massive Fern Brady fans. Very excited to have Fern on.
We're Brady heads. And of course, you'll recognise her from television's Taskmaster.
Yes. And the wonderful podcast Wheel of Misfortune as well. And of course, Fern has a book coming out called Strong Female Character, which we'll be asking her about. Very excited about her book.
Yes, I'm very excited about the book. Fern is not only genuinely hilarious and completely unique, she's also had a crazy life.
Yeah. And all of her stand-up shows will attest to that.
She's got
the
stuff to talk about.
That she talks about in those shows. So funny, while being really open and revealing. I expect the book is going to be more of her own unique brand of comedy.
Like all
in book form.
Like all the best comedians, she's got something to say. She's had a life unlike this boring sausage.
Yep, Ed's pointing at himself there, just so you know.
Yeah, I don't have a sausage in front of me.
Yeah, there's not a sausage there that he's brought out and said, this sausage couldn't write a book, because Ed's not lost his mind.
No. It couldn't, though.
It couldn't. Just to be clear.
Yeah.
A sausage couldn't write a book. And if anyone sells you a book and they say this was written by a sausage...
Don't read it.
Don't read it, because A, it's probably not true. Yeah. Probably hasn't been written by a sausage. It's a lie.
And you're probably opening it up, and if it has been written by a sausage, it'll just be loads of grease marks on the pages.
Horrible goosey, because the sausage has been rolling around on every page.
Yeah. Stupid sausage.
As always, there's a secret ingredient, and if Fern says it, then we will kick her out of the restaurant because we deem the secret ingredient to be unacceptable. This week, the secret ingredient is...
The little bag of onion that you get with an Indian takeaway. I never eat it.
It's just a sweaty little polythene bag that has chopped up bits of onion in it. And especially when... Do you know what? Nowadays with apps...
Yeah.
Wish there was a box I could check that says, don't throw in anything that I haven't actually ordered. Please don't put in the little extra bag of stuff. It feels wasteful, please. And then it always turns up and you're like, oh, there's a little sweaty polythene bag full of onions there and I'm not going to use it because you've made me a perfect curry anyway.
Yeah, I don't want to put a little sweaty onion on it.
I don't need more stuff.
No sorry.
It makes me sad.
And that was Yvonne Maxwell who suggested the little bag of onion that you get with an Indian takeaway, James.
Ah, oh, Max of Onwell.
Hmm?
It reminds me of my friend Max of Onwell.
What?
I have a friend called Max Yvonne Well.
No, you don't.
So that's quite interesting.
You don't have a friend, Yvonne Maxwell. You don't have a friend called Max Yvonne Well.
Oh, I'm thinking of Max Navan. Max Navan, they did very well.
Yeah. Max and Yvonne Donwell.
Max and Yvonne Donwell.
I'm going to level with you guys. We're at the end of a very long day.
And yet we're still churning out the best quality jokes in the industry. So I mean, that's pretty impressive.
That's what I mean. I'm going to level with you guys. We're fucking brilliant at this.
This is how good we are when we're running on fumes.
Yeah.
We come up with riffs about... You can tell us someone's name and we can turn it into a Max and the Van joke.
Yeah. Very much looking forward to talking to Fern.
Fern!
This is the off-menu menu of Fern Brady.
Fern Brady!
Welcome, Fern, to the Dream Restaurant.
Heya.
Welcome, Fern Brady, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, because I'm obsessed with food. I think about all my... As soon as I've finished one meal, I think about the next meal and what I'm going to have and what's going to be the perfect thing to have.
And is it when you finish one meal and you instantly start thinking about the next one, is that influenced by the meal you just had and what you want to follow it?
No. Oh, I didn't understand that question.
I'll be honest with you, James. I didn't quite understand the question.
You've just finished a meal. Say you've just had a cheesecake at the end of the meal.
Uh-huh.
Then when you start thinking about the next meal, are you thinking, right, my palate now after that cheesecake would like this because that's where my palate is? Or are you just thinking completely separate from the meal you just had and thinking later on, I want to have some, because I would find it hard to think about a food I want to eat when I've still got the taste of another food lingering in my mouth.
Usually that would influence me. Fullness affects me a bit, but sometimes I've been so full that I can barely walk after a meal. And this is usually on holiday, and then I still want to look at menus and windows and plan what I'm going to have. I tend to, anytime I go on holiday, I have a little list of local foods that I've never tried, and I have to try and check off that list during the holiday. So I went to Greece this summer, and it was honestly the best holiday of my life. I'm still losing the weight that I gained from it. I gained about 10 pounds in 10 days. It was unreal.
Great.
Oh.
What was on the list? What was on the list that you ticked off in Greece?
Is any of it on the dream menu? Because we don't want you to give us spoilers here.
One of the things was going to be on the dream menu, but it was too lame. Even if I gave the explanation, it'd be too rubbish. A Greek salad made in Greece. Normally, if someone said that, I would be like, are you joking? That's like the shittest thing ever. But the Airbnb that we were staying in, the guy who owned it, his elderly father came round one night to fix something for us, and he ended up staying for 3 hours talking to us about how Greece is amazing, all Greek people have five bellies, everyone in London's a cunt, basically.
Yeah.
And he said that a Greek salad made in Greece with tomatoes grown there and olives grown there yeah. is exceptional. Mm-hmm. And after that, I just every time I ate it, I thought of him. So.
Oh, that's nice. Thinking
and then
the
we tried making it
dad.
When we got back, and it was just terrible.
Yeah, it's an ingredients thing, I think, and like a surroundings thing. If you were putting it on the dream menu, would you want that old man to make it?
Yeah.
Yes, it was so old good. Like, he just was, because I said, oh, I don't really like living in London anymore. And he just goes on this rant about how the English were all drunks and stuff. Yeah. And we were, it just was amazing. Yeah. It was so entertaining. So I had a lot of tasty salads, which sounds crap, but they were amazing. And we got fat off them. So they were putting something dodgy in them. I had Greek hand pies, which are basically like just pies filled with melted cheese. Not always feta. They got all sorts of nice cheeses. Yeah. Oh, I go in between being veggie and pescatarian. I had tons of amazing fish. I had prawn saganaki. That's like prawns with feta and tomato sauce. And I don't really like cakes very much, but they had a nice cake soaked in orange blossom honey. Orange blossom syrup.
Greek. Every time I'm reminded of Greek food, I remember that it's probably my favourite food.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So good.
And it wouldn't be, because a lot of the stuff on my menu today is Chinese, but honestly, like, I really respect the way the Greeks do food. And also, you're into ice cream, James. Are you?
Guilty?
So I'm not. Okay. Wouldn't give it a second thought.
Oh, come on.
I'll occasionally have it if it's a dead fancy place, like I like that Chin Chin place in London sometimes. They had a hipster ice cream place on this little island we were staying on, and they had, like, the best pistachio ice cream I've had in my life.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not an ice cream fan.
Joseph Quinn would like that. Quinn came on the podcast and chose a pistachio ice cream affogato, I believe, even though he'd never had it before.
Yeah. But that's what's great. Just make stuff up.
Yeah, that's where you got to go. Have you had everything on your menu today? Are you making stuff up that you've never actually had before? Combinations you haven't had? Or is it all stuff you've experienced firsthand?
No. So I wanted to do the most genuine menu. I didn't want to do any virtue signalling. I didn't want to do...
No, because
not the way vegans are. You know what I try and do? I try and be vegetarian and tell fucking no one about it, because I don't like being too Catholic about my diet, and I hate when people go on and on and on about it. Anyway, so I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do something about my Scottish heritage and we used to eat this growing up. And also, I grew up eating in a really pretentious, what some people would say is a pretentious way.
Right.
I wanted... what is my genuine answers? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all things I've had. It's all things that if I wasn't thinking about calories or like the best healthy food to eat, these are the foods that I would choose. Mm-hmm. And I said to my partner last night, what do you think I've picked for off menu? And he guessed it almost exactly. He guessed each
true
thing.
Love. Yeah. True love.
True
apart
love.
From the butter, but at that point I didn't know what butter I wanted.
You don't want to break up over that.
No.
That's all right.
The only way, that's skipping to the dessert, but there was a thing I said for dessert and he was like, you don't like those, I like those. And I was like...
That's a big call, isn't it?
You don't like those, I like those.
He just eats more of them because I'm always like worried about having a big moon face on TV.
When you say you ate pretentiously as a child,
my God.
What do you mean?
So, I don't think it... I remember there was a chef... Gizzy Erskine, that's really stuck in my head when she said this. She said, like, in France, you can eat well and it's not associated with your social class. So if I talk about the way I grew up eating, or if I talk about the way I eat now, people go, you've changed, as if I've, like, come into money and decided to start eating like this. No, I've returned to the way that I grew up eating. Yeah. Basically, my mum would bake us focaccia all the time growing up. She would have Greek themed food nights. She would give us I remember being really embarrassed of my lunchbox a lot at school and really jealous that I wasn't eating like what the scaffy kids were eating. I really wanted cheese strings or do you know those Dairy Lunchables?
Yeah.
And my mum would always say to me, like, the children that eat that food, their mums don't love them. And I would be eating a bag of Vesalius as my snack at break. You know those,
yeah,
those fruits that decorate a cake?
Yeah, that they put them on cheesecakes and stuff.
Yeah. She'd give us bags of them.
I think they've been our secret ingredient
they
before.
Might have,
so,
yeah, they have been.
A lot of interesting fruits.
Yeah, I can't imagine being a kid at school pulling a bag of Vesalius out of your bag.
Well, there was one time, the area I'm from has got quite a lot of child poverty, and I remember my pal at school, she pulled out a bowl of cod liver oil tablets and was just eating them during break. And she was like, do you want some? And I was like, yeah. And I just was like, I can't believe my mum's such a bitch, always giving me fruit to school.
Yeah, she never gives me a big bag of cod liver oil tablets.
And then I told my mum later, can I have cod liver oil tablets as my snack? And she had to say again, those kids have parents that are irresponsible and stuff.
Yeah, she's probably right with that one.
Yeah, them.
With the cod liver oil tablets, definitely.
Yeah, you've got to be popping the whole bottle of them.
And there were always these sweets when I was growing up, push pops, ring pops.
Don't push me, push a push pop.
Yeah,
the whistle. You know the whistles that were made out of candy. And my mum would always say, the children that eat them, their teeth rot in their heads. Mm. So we never, never would allow anything like that.
The push pop advert?
Yes.
Do you remember it?
Don't push me, push a push pop, yeah.
Yes.
Do you think any kid actually ever tried to use a push pop in a genuine bullying situation? Got the absolute shit.
Oh, yes, now I remember!
Yeah. Because the big kid pushes the little kid, and the little kid goes, don't push me, push a push pop, and gives him a push pop.
And then he has a push pop, but obviously in real life, that's an invitation to get beaten up.
Yeah, that push pop is going straight up his ass.
Yeah.
I did manage to have one of the whistle ones one time, that had a little stick coming out of it that you could play tunes on. The rapper would have a tune on the back, so you could play three.
You could follow along with it.
Just you in the playground with your little sweet playing a tune with the music in front of you, throwing fizzles into your mouth now and
green sleeves.
And then she also, because I saw an advert for a boarding school in the newspaper, and I said, I want to go to this boarding school. And my mum said, the children that go to private school, the parents get the money for that by only eating Tesco value food.
Your mum's got a lot of insight into other people's parents.
Yeah.
So I always believed her. She was like, you can either go to this posh school, but you'll eat terrible food, or you can eat the way we do now.
Yeah, you chose Catcher and Thistle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then I asked Ivo about it, Ivo Graham.
He's the personal.
Oldetonian. And he was like, no, we always had nice food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, finally the lie was exposed.
Yeah. Ivo, did you have to eat bad food? No, ate good food all the time.
I wouldn't say so, because we've had him on this podcast before.
Yeah, his food choices were awful. He thinks an acceptable dessert is banana and natural yogurt.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've worked a lot with him, and I was really shocked at the way he eats. He just doesn't care.
Yeah.
He doesn't... Sometimes I would rather not eat than have something rubbish or something
Absolutely.
That I'm not bothered
Completely
about.
Completely agree with you.
Yeah. So, whereas he just, I saw him having sausage rolls for breakfast when we were in Melbourne and things like that.
Yeah.
And I just was like of all the, I love breakfast so much in Melbourne because they've got the best brunch culture in the world that I'll devote most of my calories to having breakfast foods and then just have not very much at night.
Just a bag of Fizzlers.
You're not far off. I pretty much have brunch in the morning in Melbourne, and then I just eat a little monkey at night with loads of berries.
Oh, you are the monkey in this situation.
Yeah, I thought you were eating a little monkey.
No.
It's a very lean meat.
I'll eat like a little monkey.
Yeah.
I just eat
a little monkey in the evening.
Eat a little monkey in the evening.
That's horrific. I thought you were pescatarian.
Yeah. I'm about to ask you what water you wanted. But let's get back to this. You're eating monkeys.
Well, I alternate between eating very well and then on tour, I just eat blueberries and yogurt again and again and again.
Right.
It's like my go-to.
Yeah.
Touring's difficult though, isn't it?
Gives you energy, the blueberries.
Well, they're the best food for... I think I've eaten blueberries every day for the last 15 years or something.
Yeah?
I think it's my mum's influence.
Yeah.
Because the kids who didn't eat blueberries had parents who were awful.
Yeah. She really embarrassed me actually one time when I was at... I was going out with this guy when I was 16 and his family all ate really badly. And I was over at his house and we were ordering a pizza and my mum phoned their house phone up to ask when I was coming home for dinner. So I was like, let's put this on speakerphone and listen to this dumb bitch. Put it on. And she was like, why aren't you coming home for dinner? I've cooked asparagus. And I was like, I'm having pizza, Mum. And she went, but it's your favourite vegetable. And I went, no, it's not. Shut up. I just like took it off speakerphone straight away. It was my favourite because the way my mum would cook it, she would cook it just like lightly grilled. You parboil it, then grill it, then put some parmesan and garlic over the top and salt. Oof. It was my favourite vegetable.
Yeah, it was.
That does sound good.
Before we get into your menu, we should talk about your book that's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Strong Female Character.
Yeah, I can't change the title now. My brother told me to change it.
Oh, yeah?
What did your brother want you to change it to?
He didn't have any other suggestion.
Yeah, that's always helpful, isn't it?
So when I said to the publisher, I said, my brother fixes it. She was like, no, you're not changing it. Oh, yeah, I got a book coming out about how it's rubbish being an autistic woman, but it's also good. I think there's a lot of good things to it because there's a lot of aspects to being a girl that are really dumb, especially around eating. Like, a lot of posh, skinny women that I'm friends with, they monitor how everyone's eating, and I'm usually just continuously eating in the background, not bothered about it. Because if you're autistic, you don't really care about conforming to social norms or different non-verbal cues. So that's a benefit. But the downside is when I get stressed, I eat the same food over and over again.
Just blueberries and yogurt?
Yeah, when I went through a bagel, I've had a few bagel phases.
Yeah.
I just love bagels. I love the shape.
Certain type of bagel?
Taste.
What do you want on the bagel? I like the sesame ones, personally.
I like cinnamon and raisin, just with butter.
Yeah.
But also peanut butter ones. Not a fan of savoury bagels.
Right.
Or a bagel with like a lot of fillings in it.
I love it. I love a bagel with a load of fillings in it. Yeah. There's a place near us that deliver bagels now and get the smoked salmon and cream cheese one. There's so much smoked salmon and cream cheese in there. I love it.
Yeah.
Although they've recently started putting tomato in there, which I'm very angry about.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that.
Too wet.
Yeah. But I agree that smoked salmon and cream cheese, if it's a bagel or a sandwich or whatever, often people skimp on both those fillings and it annoys me. And I want like a whole salmon in there, a whole wheel of cream cheese. Like, yeah, I want it all in there. I want the more filling the better with a smoked salmon and cream cheese.
I like an everything bagel as well.
Right.
I can't think of them now without thinking about that film. Have you seen it? Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah. Which describes how I want my salmon and cream cheese.
Yeah, it's exactly how you want it.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Didn't write about food much in the book. No, I did. I didn't write about all the nice food that I ate, but I have gone through some mad phases where I will just eat one food. One time I was really sad after a breakup, so I only ate boiled eggs for ages.
Just to make things even more sad.
Yeah.
Oh, it was grim. Basically, I read that both Charles Saatchi and Rihanna had lost weight from only eating boiled eggs.
Yeah, you would.
So obviously they're
you would. You'd lose a lot of other stuff as well, like your dignity, not smelling like a big fart all the time.
Listen, it was so bad. I started getting these, like, after maybe 3 months.
3 months of only eating...
I'm telling you, it was like boiled eggs somewhere.
What?
Oh my God, it was so sad.
How many boiled eggs a day were you eating? And were you eating anything else as well?
Sometimes I was eating meat at that time. I would sometimes eat chicken, but that's depressing as well because I hate thinking of the two together.
Yeah, chicken and egg, yeah.
But no, not very much else.
How many eggs were you eating a day?
I think I was eating, I could do 6 to 8. If I ran out of eggs, that was stressful.
So, were you only eating them in like, you know, proportions like that you get
I would have two eggs at a time.
How many you get in a box? Yeah.
And then coat them in salt.
Yeah.
And then I started to get bad pains in my side.
Yeah.
And the GP was like, have you been doing Atkins or something? Uh-huh. And I was like, yeah, something like that. And he said, take this medicine, go home, drink a load of water, eat some toast. And I was like, I can't believe my prescription is toast. This is amazing. That's like my dream, is to be prescribed toast. Because the way I got into this podcast was I heard that Catherine Ryan didn't like bread. Mm. And I agree with Catherine Ryan on like 99% of things.
That's dangerous.
Huh?
That's dangerous.
Well, to have the power to not like bread,
yes.
I can't imagine that.
Mm,
yeah. I love it more than anything. I love it more than I would give up alcohol before that. I would give up sugar and sweets before bread.
Uh-huh.
There's no bread I've ever had that I don't like. I've tried diet breads or bread that's just made of seeds. Like, I love all bread.
Like, you like having a meal and then immediately thinking about the next meal. So when you're in an obsessive phase, that must take all the joy out of it because you're eating two eggs and then you know that the next meal is going to be two eggs.
Yeah, that's more like, I think definitely being in a couple helps because I eat a lot more normal meals now. Mm-hmm. Anytime my boyfriend goes away, I just revert back to like, he went away recently and when he came back, there was nothing left in the fridge. I hadn't done any shopping and I'll just eat like very plain foods, just berries and yogurt again. Yeah. It's like I can't think what to have on my own.
My wife's very similar. So when I go away, like it all goes to shit. Like she'll be like, I had crisps on the toilet for dinner or something. Yeah. Like,
I'll tell you, some crisps would be a food I'm not bothered about at all. The main time I eat crisps is if I'm at a gig, because it's always at gigs.
Yeah,
in the audience.
oh, they're the worst.
Yeah.
The confidence to do that. Yeah, I wouldn't be bothered about crisps. There's some foods I think that's just like a waste of my time, like croissants as well, unless it was a mega fancy one. I wouldn't bother eating a plain one.
Waste of time. Oh, yeah, I don't want a plain
But no. See, I'm similar. I wouldn't order a plain croissant. I wouldn't, you know, buy any plain croissants. But when you're in a situation where there is a plain croissant and you're like, oh, fine, I'll have it, and it's warm and you tear it apart, and just so buttery and delicious.
Well, it's got to be a mega buttery one.
Yeah.
Because if you get one that's not mega buttery and it's on its own, it's the worst.
When it's dry and like,
I wouldn't eat, say you were at a work thing and there were croissants there, like here in the UK, I wouldn't bother. If you were in France, yeah, I would eat it. Or like Melbourne, we went on a trip to this place, Fitzroy in Melbourne, that does insanely fancy croissants. Do you know the place I mean?
Well, I've never been to Melbourne,
right,
but I follow a croissant place in Melbourne on Instagram.
It's
called Loon.
Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely you obsessed go. With it.
I've been to Melbourne multiple times. didn't know where you were talking about. Ed follows a croissant place in Melbourne. Well, we better get into your menu proper. Let's start with still or sparkling water.
Sparkling.
Yeah.
You came alive when you said sparkling.
You beat me. And do you know what? Because I'm pretty obsessed with eating the perfect foods, and eating really healthily and stuff. A lot of people are very critical of that now, but I get a real buzz out of it. And I read sparkling water is bad for you in some way, just slightly bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I drink it, I feel like a rebel now, which is quite sad because it is just water.
Your own body.
It feels mad, like I'm drinking spirits or something.
Do you think your mum would say that the kids who had sparkling water, their parents didn't care about them?
So. She actually thinks I've gone too far with the food thing now, and I'm like, well, you've planted the seeds of it.
I mean, I guess she can't put anything down to, you know, like the way an adult eats, where you eat now, she can attribute none of it to herself as a parent. You know, she was always like going, kids who eat this is because of their parents. But as you grow up, I mean, if anything, the way you eat now is completely because of your mum.
Oh, definitely.
But does she take any credit for it?
She does. She was really pleased. I went on Grace Dent's podcast and talked about good food, because she was a little bit annoyed because I also talked about when I worked in a strip club and this guy that had Down syndrome would come in all the time and shout at us.
Okay.
So she was very upset about that bit.
Yeah.
But then the focaccia thing made up for it.
Yeah. Yes. So here's a question that everyone probably had earlier in the podcast that I feel we should circle back round to before we move on with the menu is, sorry to ask it, but how bad did your farts stink when you were eating the eggs all the time?
They weren't bad. They're actually worse when I eat a lot of tofu and beans, which are two of my favourite foods. I fart loads and loads. Why are you laughing at
that? Because the second two loads and loads made me laugh.
Yeah.
Loads. But also, James knows exactly why I'm laughing, just because I find that sort of thing really funny.
Yeah, and you said it in a really serious way, like you're musing on it.
Yeah. It's three, I better add two more loads in there.
But isn't it good for you?
Yeah, probably.
I've got really into reading about the gut microbiome and eating fermented foods, but I tend to get like quite obsessive about one thing at once, so I read that eating for your gut is going to help you live longer. So I made my own kombucha, I bought like the thingies that make kefir, I made my own, what's the other one, the free K's, cabbage.
Kimchi.
I made it all at once, and then you're not really supposed to eat all them three things at once and in like massive quantities. And I honestly just like my shits were like flying out of me like wet piglets. It was
wet
so
piglets.
Oh my god. Because I was like, I didn't know the power that this stuff had.
Yeah.
I just was like, I'll be fine. But yeah, I love all the fermented stuff.
So you're just eating loads? Was it just the amount that you're eating was what was causing the wet piglets?
Yeah, you can't have the 3Ks at once. You're meant to just like sort of sprinkle them throughout your life.
Well, you put 3Ks together and stuff starts to go
that's
bad.
That's when some things start going bad. You should have known that. You should have known this is going to turn pretty bad. Pop-noms or bread? Pop-noms or bread, fam, Brady? Pop-noms or bread?
Brett, I mean, I didn't even get into Poppadoms until recently. I wouldn't even... They were one of my waste of time foods along with crisps and croissants.
Your waste of time food seems to be quite sort of flaky. Anything
carby,
that might
like
sort of...
Like carbs.
Yeah.
Anything carby and calorific that I'm not... I have to enjoy it to the max.
Mm.
That's my rule with foods. I want every mealtime to be amazing, basically.
Apart from when you're in an egg phase.
Oh, apart from the eggs and the blueberries and the yogurt. Yeah.
So it's either got to be amazing or there's a reason.
Functional.
There's a reason you do it.
So yogurt, another great food for your gut. That's really good. And blueberries are going to stop me from dying of cancer, apparently. So
yes.
I feel like I'm doing a good thing when I eat them.
So, I mean, it sounds like when you're eating, you're often very, like, you talk about Ivo, just like, you can just sit there and eat a sausage roll. He's not thinking about any of it.
Food
seems like you're always
people.
Thinking. You're always thinking when you're eating a meal. Why am I eating it?
Yeah.
What's this for? Is it worth it? Is it stressful?
Am I eating for pleasure or am I eating for function?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it stressful? I get stressed when... So I like to be in charge of what food place I'm going to. Mm-hmm. Like in Melbourne, I know where I want to go. So I've just had a lot of my best food experiences there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I keep mentioning it. Mm-hmm. So I know where I want to go a lot of the time. And I have a friend who I won't name because they're a good person. They're an expert at picking the shittest breakfast places. And I don't ever want to waste a breakfast in my time on earth. So if I'm trying to be like cool and relaxed and stuff and let another friend pick it, that's when I feel the worst.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't care about foods.
Yeah.
I still remember there was like one breakfast where it was crap and it still sticks in my head. That was in Sydney.
Oh, yeah. Sydney breakfast. Oh,
it's
man.
Crap.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Does it make you lose respect for people if they pick somewhere crap?
I'll resent them for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does make me lose respect. I'll sometimes describe a person as like they're the type of person who would go to a Japanese restaurant and order, what's that really mild like chicken curry that you get?
Like a katsu curry.
They'd order a katsu curry.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll describe people as that.
Yeah.
Or their idea of a great dinner is a roast.
Yeah.
I'll just describe that as an insult. But then no one else knows what I'm talking about.
Well, I get you. I mean, I love a roast dinner, but you were saying before the podcast when you hear people have chosen that as their dream meal.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Just the amount of flavours and like most of my food choices are Chinese things because I like China, they don't just care about flavour, they care about texture, which is why you get so many different amazing textures of tofu. Yeah. And then here, it's just like, I just love a bit of roast meat with salt and pepper on it. And people get really defensive over it, but the bragging about, I had a lovely Sunday roast. It's everything that's wrong with this country. I mean, England.
Yeah, England.
It's
so
grim.
Obviously. Yeah.
Do they not like a roast dinner in Scotland?
They probably do.
Yeah. But you got your own breakfasts there. Do you have your own roasts? Because you got your Scottish breakfasts are very clear.
Yeah, I really miss square sausage.
Mm,
I've had three different types of veggie square sausage.
Yeah.
There's one good one, but I can't remember who makes it. Might be Faceplant or or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really miss square sausage rolls.
I remember the first time I had it on the Isle of Mull was where I had the first square sausage I've ever had. And it's a ratatouille moment, actually. Any time I have a square sausage, I'm transported back to the Isle of Mull.
The Isle of Mull.
Yeah. Tobermory.
I thought that was a Proustian thing, is it not?
Is it?
We call it a ratatouille thing.
Oh, right. Ratatouille. Benito's got a Tobermory t-shirt on now. It's like,
that's
nice.
Mad.
That is. He's called the Great Benito because he used to be a magician. And this is like watching a magician at the end of their show going, were you thinking of Tobermory? And then opening their shirt and it's a Tobermory t-shirt. That was amazing.
Benito's also, you should say he's wearing thousands of t-shirts.
He's layered up. He's sweating so bad.
I didn't want to talk about Scottish food very much.
You don't like it because I tricked you into it.
I'm not a very Scottish person.
Wrong.
No, but like, I'm just not. There are some foods that I'll eat that I miss, but they're terrible for you. Like, Scottish bread is amazing. Have you had stovies in Scotland?
Yeah. Lovely.
It is lovely.
Yeah.
But,
have you had that? You've never mentioned that.
Stovies?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not been like such an amazing experience that. It's come up.
Yeah,
it's not the same
in restaurants. It's just not, like, I think I've had it, and it wouldn't be a thing you would have in a restaurant. It would be a thing that your grandparents and mum would make.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I didn't want to have any Scottishy things on the menu.
Fair enough.
Because I'm just not...
You hate Scotland?
I'm just not bothered about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a lot of Scottish Londoners will go on and on about these things called Empire Biscuits. They're so average. Mm-hmm. That might be a controversial point.
Yeah, well, see, we don't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But obviously you're going to get, you'll find
abuse?
Out, I guess. When this goes out, yeah.
Of all the Scottish cakes, it wouldn't be my, it would never be my go-to.
What is an Empire Biscuit?
Yeah.
Oh, God, so crap. It's like two, not even shortbread biscuits. It's not even as rich as shortbread.
Yeah.
Just like two plain crumbly biscuits about the size of my hand, so quite big, and then on top there's just like icing, plain icing, and then like a midget gem, and then there's some jam in the middle. When my mum used to make them, I'd be like, wow, why have you made these again? What we do have that's really nice are these things called pineapple tarts. You can get them if you're ever gigging in Scotland. You'd get them in a supermarket. It wouldn't be a fancy thing, and that's like a little pastry case filled with whipped cream and some pineapple jam and then, like, bright yellow icing on top.
Yeah, great. Well, that's like the Marks & Spencer's ones that Simon Rogan recommended.
Yes.
And I got really into them. There's only certain Marks & Spencer's that sell them. There's one on the Oxford Street Marks & Spencer's.
You
can get those pineapple tarts. I love them. Absolutely double thumbs up. I didn't know they were a Scottish thing.
I think they are.
Yeah.
Delicious.
I'm not a pineapple guy.
Yeah, well.
Why?
Just don't like really like. I'm not that bothered about the taste of it. My wife's allergic to pineapple.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I used to get that.
Yeah.
And then I thought everyone's mouth hurt when they eat pineapple. And it was only by chance I said to one of my colleagues one day, I love pineapple, but I hate like all the mad pain that you get. And then he was like, what are you talking about?
I would go to hospital every time.
I would puff up and go all red.
I was getting these random food allergies out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
For a bit. I think they've gone away now. There used to be a pizza place in Heather Green in Lewisham that did this pizza that was so incredible, but every time I ate it, I would find it hard to breathe and my lips would swell up.
Every time you ate it?
That was the thing, was we would be like, oh, should we order allergy pizza again?
Yeah.
I've never figured out what was on it. But that was how tasty it was. And then the people that, I think it was called the Gold of Naples, that was the pizza place, they moved back to Naples to make pizza.
Oh,
so
wow.
They must be the best.
Yeah, absolutely the best.
Or they just killed too many people here.
Yeah, we have to get out of here.
Yeah, we got to go.
Oh, maybe. I've never had a pizza that good since.
What type of bread are we talking before we move on to your starter?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Gail's potato and rosemary sourdough.
Yes, it's good.
He's happy.
I absolutely love it.
For the butter, Quick's whey butter, which, or any whipped butter, like when you get whipped butter in a restaurant.
So I'm loving this. Very specific things that you want. This is what I like in a menu. I get excited when the guests come on and have specific ideas for each.
See, the Quick's butter, I think that's the one they sell at Gales as well, right?
Yeah.
Little logs.
Yeah.
Sometimes weekend morning, get delivery Gales.
Oh, yeah? Sim.
Potato and rosemary sourdough, little log of butter.
That is your go-to as well, that one?
Yeah, that one, or to be honest, any of the ones at Gales are really good. I got seeded sourdough the other day.
That's my other choice.
It's so good.
Wow. Seeded is my second choice, potato and rosemary is just the best one. I get annoyed with places lying to me about their bread being sourdough when it's not. Taking me for an idiot. I was going to say a worser word there.
Yeah.
I was in a brunch place in Glasgow and ordered eggs and toast. Uh-huh. Would be my go-to brunch order. And she brought me over. This happens to me all the time. They don't even toast the toast so many places.
Yeah.
Just come up for years.
Mm-hmm. I get annoyed. Yeah.
I hate complaining in restaurants, right? But then it happens just too many times to you. So I got brought this hot white bread slice, like that thin, so thin. Yeah. And I said to her, sorry, would it be possible to get my toast more toasted? And she sort of looked at me and went, that's actually, this type of sourdough just doesn't toast. She went, I can try. I can take it back and try. And I just, because you think we're confident doing comedy, but when someone tells you such a confident piss take of a lie that you can't toast. I was just like, yeah, can you take it back? Because I thought, I'm 36 now. If I don't, because normally I just cringe at sending stuff back, but I thought if you don't do it now, you never will. It gets brought back, and lo and behold, it had some colour on it. Because there is no such thing as untoastable bread. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The sheer brass neck of someone going,
I can try.
It's just, you probably don't understand science. We're not going to be able to toast this. It's just magic. It's magic bread. So.
Oh my God. Unbelievable.
Also, I bet they didn't even toast it as much as they could have.
No.
Because they didn't want you to know they'd fully lied. Yeah. So they were just like, there you go. That's the best we could do. But it probably wasn't the best.
So how did this come about? Were a lot of people getting burnt toast and sending it back in places? Because I just
want. Maybe.
Possibly. They was like, let's err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
Just do
it can't be a time thing, can it? It can't be like they save a minute, so they just send it out. Maybe people don't want, maybe some people just don't want it that toasted when they put stuff on top of it.
But I'd say 8 out of 10 places I get given bread that's just been in a toaster for a minute.
But with some sourdough, I do find that you need to stick it in the toaster twice.
Right.
Because it does come out looking like it's not been in the toaster and you need to stick it through again.
Sure, it doesn't give the appearance of toast.
And how do you feel when you get given bread that isn't sourdough in a restaurant and they call it sourdough because they take you for a cunt?
Yeah, just in case anyone wasn't sure what the phrase was earlier on that firm was avoided.
I'm not sure that's happened to me, or maybe I'm just an absolute sucker.
Maybe
I'm
you have an accent that unlocks
you're not
doors.
A sucker, are you? Yeah. I think you know what you are, Ed.
Don't take that guy for a C. He's going to know his stuff, whereas I probably wouldn't, you know.
Given that you've chosen, we know this before going into your courses, you've chosen a lot of Chinese food. Were you tempted for poppadoms or bread to go prawn crackers?
No, I'm not fussed about prawn crackers at all. Another waste of time food. My mate Alison Spittle, the comedian, we went for a Chinese there and she got her and my boyfriend just hoofed a load of prawn crackers and I think I had one. And I remember that Alison, I don't know if she kind of looked at me like, oh, that's surprising. And I didn't want to say, like, this just isn't a thing that I'm not bothered about. She once worked in exchange for prawn crackers in a Chinese takeaway.
She did. She told us this.
She told us this.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Now I have remembered.
And she used to get beaten with a stick by an old Chinese lady.
Yeah. She told us that as well. Yeah.
It's funny that you're friends. So your dream starter then, are we straight to Chinese food?
Yeah, this is, I don't know if this will be allowed as a starter because it's a breakfast food. It's a jianbing, which is a Chinese crepe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like my all-time favourite food in the whole world. Both my brothers live in Shanghai and I went to visit them a few years ago and they just would like order food for me and I didn't have like a single bad food experience because we grew up together, we all like the same things, mm-hmm. and they knew what I would like. So the first morning there, one of them just went silently, like, got me this thing from a stall and handed it to me. And it's a crepe, a savoury crepe. They make it on, like, a big crepe maker, crack two eggs onto it and fry them on that. Then put hoisin sauce over it, spicy little pickled vegetables. Then they get fried wonton skins, crush them up. They're all like crunchy and sprinkle it over the top. And then people get different fillings on top of that. So my choice is like these spicy, chewy tofu sticks. But other people get little sausages or a bit of bacon. Mm-hmm. And then they put some lettuce, coriander on top and wrap it all up. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Oh, it sounds so good.
I'll tell you where I get them. I found a place to get them in London. Pleasant Lady.
There's a place called Pleasant Lady.
He was just giving you the title for your next book.
I think that's a jambing place. No, please tell us where you get them in London.
It's called Chinese Tapas House, and it's if you were about to like go into Chinatown next to the place where they have Magic Mike on. I can't remember the name of the street. Yeah. Because you know why I was thinking of that? Because I was walking to get a jambing and there was all the topless pictures of the Magic Mike lads. Right, and I thought, I bet they're starving and just eating a terrible diet. And it made me feel better.
All the time. Yeah.
Pleasant Lady, jambing trading stall, Old Spitalfields Market. That's what I thought you were going to go with Pleasant Lady.
And
I thought,
place for you.
Well, this one's a little bit nearer to me. There is another one in Chinatown just round the corner, but I didn't rate it as much. It's just amazing.
I've got to try this. Never had one before. Yeah. It sounds great. And
I'd recommend it.
I'm sure you can guess the ingredient that got me most excited during the description.
The crispy wonton skins.
I knew that from the...
Crispy wonton skins is when I was like, well, I'm eating this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did light up,
sounds
to be
exciting.
Fair.
It's like you're saying about texture, like it's... And they've actually thought about how it feels in the mouth as opposed to it all just being wet stuff.
It's like a lovely hangover food or just any time food, but traditionally a breakfast food.
Well, that sounds great. That's a really, I mean, that's the first time we've had that on the pod.
Yes,
as well.
I'm into it.
Oh,
so
cool.
Always good.
And it's made me
a new one.
I'm gonna go and try one because I've never.
Please.
Every time I walk past Pleasant Lady, I'm like, that sounds nice, but
yeah. And I really do want to stress. I didn't put because one of my pals was like, "Oh, your suggestions are dead pretentious." I picked what are my favourite foods.
Yeah. So everyone can get off your back.
Yeah.
I just want an adventure in my mouth every time.
Yeah, well, look forward to having that tweeted at you without any context after this has gone out.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but yes. My wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Dream main course.
So I changed this last minute this morning. I thought I was going to go for mapo tofu because it's got my favourite condiment in it, Lao Gan Ma. Oh, my God.
It was on my dream menu when we did episode 100. Yeah, I had Lao Gan Ma, the chilli oil, yeah.
You can put it on... Well, it's not just... It's a chilli oil with, like, salty little soybeans in it.
Crispy
as well.
Soybeans. Yeah. And you can get one with peanuts in as well, but that was dangerous when I had that one. I was just eating that like a yoghurt.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I had that. But this dish has all those flavours in it, and it's malatang.
Right.
Which... was another thing my brother's introduced me to, but I've since had in different places. If anyone knows a good London malatang place, please let me know, because I can't seem to find one. So malatang's where you get a very spicy soup base. You can pick how spicy you want it, usually. And it's got lots of, like, chilli oil and Szechuan peppers in it. Mm. And then there's, like, you go to a fridge and you pick out all the things you're going to put in your soup, so you can pick, like... eggs, quail eggs, noodles, vegetables, tofu puffs, like all different things. And then you take it up to the counter and they weigh it and then they make your soup for you. It's huge.
Oh, I think, I mean, we're back to Melbourne now.
I was going
to
say you probably had it. Yeah.
I think Phil Wang took us all for something. Because Phil Wang was doing his thing. I think we spoke about it on Phil's episode.
The Slurpees.
Where he was rating all the different noodle places. And he'd gone to somewhere that was amazing. And I was like, right, let's go there. He went, oh, I kind of cover this other place, though. I was like, no, you haven't, Phil. You haven't, because it's just for your Twitter.
You've invented
We should go to this other place. And he took us to a place where we did that. We had to put it all together. And when while we were eating it, he went, this is a bad place. I was like, yeah, this is a bad one, Phil. And he was like, yeah, sorry. And then that was it. I just had a bad... But yours sounds nice.
I went for... That was the last malatang I had was with Phil. And he kept laughing at me and saying... You got too much. And saying that I put too much in my bowl. But I always
that's
just get
kind of thing that you find
yeah,
funny.
Yeah.
Something gets too much.
I just get excited at all the different things that you can get.
So yeah. What are you putting in yours?
Well,
how spicy is the base first?
Oh, well, I went for the spiciest level.
So you've got top level spice.
Yeah.
What are you selecting from the for your actual ingredients in it?
Normal noodles or rice noodles are like flat rice noodles, I guess. Mm. Oh my God, my favourite, the Chinese savoury donuts. I forgot to say, the Jian Bing, they also put a Chinese donut in it. It's insane.
Wow.
There's so much in it.
Is there too much?
Too much.
See,
I never put enough savoury donuts in it, and then I'll try and put vegetables in to sort of show off, but then I end up just eating everything in order of preference and leaving the veg till last. Put eggs in because I have a healthy relationship with eggs now. Those are my main picks that I remember. Oh, and then I always put lotus root in because I can't remember if I like it or not.
And then you got to try it.
Well, I was going to ask, and then do you like it when it's in there? But I guess you can't remember.
It tastes like potato, does it?
It's kind of crispy. It's like crunchier than potato, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some foods I'll persist with because everyone says they like them, even though I don't. Like, I've tried to eat squid, even though I think squid is the most inedible, disgusting thing in the world. Uh-huh. I've tried to eat it, like, 20 times, which is mental.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But it was because everyone else seemed to be enjoying it.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
I do, yeah. I like it.
I mean, it's very easy to mess up, I guess.
It has to be done the right way. Yeah. I don't like squid rings.
But it's unlikely that... you had it 20 times and it wasn't good one of those times. I think you just don't like it.
Yeah,
you definitely don't like it.
And then party, I wanted to bring up as well. Was like,
I hate party.
You hate party?
You do you?
I hate party to such an extent that if other people are eating it and I can smell it, it makes me want to be sick. And I have really vivid recollections of seeing people eat patty and seeing the mush of patty in their mouth, this mush of patty and baguette, and it's so repulsive. It's just creamed animal organs that then gets creamed up more in your mouth.
Yeah, it sounds disgusting.
It sounds disgusting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I hate it now.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've ruined pate for me. Thanks, Fern.
These people eating their pate baguette and they're just opening their mouth while they look at you.
But when a person eats it, it makes me hate them.
Yeah.
That's how much I dislike it. So no pate in my melatonin.
Put that on a T-shirt.
One time I had an incredible melatonin when I was with my brothers and they'd said they were ordering me all veggie food. And then I was like, why is this tofu so incredible? And they were like, oh, it's soaked in pig's blood. Probably pig's or duck's blood.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those brothers, they do it for a laugh. They think it's funny. I think
they just didn't think.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was the most delicious tofu I've had of all time.
So you could probably, I guess you're not eating meat. You could say, I'm a vegetarian, but everything I eat is soaked in the blood of animals.
Yeah.
Compromise. I just eat tofu.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a compromise. I think that's worse than eating meat, isn't it?
Soaked in the blood of
Everything's soaked in the blood of animals.
Ducks and pigs.
I mean, I think it's respectable that they use everything.
Yeah, yeah. At least they're doing that.
Is it like hot pot, but when you order everything in? Because I love Chinese hot pot.
See, I don't like Chinese hot pot. And I've been to a couple of different places. It is and it isn't like hot pot. It's the soup base that's just the difference, because it's so spicy and incredible. Like, you really, what you put in your malatangs, I'm not really that arsed about it. It's the actual soup base is so tasty.
And I guess with hot pot, it's the thing that you're cooking in the stock or whatever. So it's not, you're not like drinking the stock. I love it. Heidi Lau near Leicester Square, absolutely brilliant. Such a good night out.
There was a place, because I always look at what restaurants you're going to on Instagram for recommendations. Mm-hmm. And then there was a place that you went to, but then when I looked at it, it looked like it was all influencers.
It looks terrible. It really looks terrible. And you go in as well and you think, oh, this is going to be really bad. But it's really good. It's really good ingredients.
But why are influencers all going there?
Oh, I don't know.
Right.
I've got no idea.
I'd imagine that, if you're an influencer, isn't one of the perks you get to go to good places for free?
Yeah.
Got to be, right?
Well, it depends, yeah.
Unless you live in a life where everything's rubbish and you're telling everyone it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a sad life.
I mean, it was like a lot of pictures of girls that didn't look like they eat or like they were eating the food. So it was just a bit like, oh, what is it about this place? And then I didn't go because of that.
It's really nice. But if you don't like hot pot, I guess it's...
There, it's usually good, I'd say.
What is?
If Ed's there, he's an influencer.
Well, Charlie recommended me that one.
You're an influencer?
I'm an influencer, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you are with food. I was, when you started doing this, I was like, that's an amazing idea, because I want to get more food sent to me.
Yeah.
And as it stands, I get offers of alcohol sent to me and I don't drink that much, so...
Well, what foods do you want sent to you? Give it a shout out.
Bread.
Yeah.
I would do an advert for bread.
Yeah,
just bread in general.
Honestly, I'm like, when can I advertise bread? Well, I need to start going on about it more.
What if Gales asked you to do an advert for them, but they said you have to change your name to Gale?
That's the image there. I worked for a very annoying woman in admin called Gale, so it's just not a cool name. With Gales, I just don't think they would want me for their brand.
No?
If anyone wants to send me fermented foods, I would love that.
Yeah. Your dream side.
I changed this because the first one was disrespectful to Ed.
Why was it disrespectful to me?
Because it's a thing called sleepy pasta, although it's not really...
Yeah. And as an insomniac, Ed would not like it.
Yeah.
It's a mirasoda recipe.
Love mirasoda recipes.
Oh, my God. I've got a story about that. so awful and embarrassing.
Yes.
So I was like the biggest Mira Soda fan. Yeah. That's quite dorky to be like a fan of a
I love it.
Chef and yeah. The Guardian. I've got two of her books. I cooked almost everything in the books. Most recipes that I cook are from her books on a weekly basis.
East, have you got East, that book?
Yeah, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's amazing. Her pad thai, yeah. I would rather have that over any takeaway. I did this travelogue with Ivo and Darren Harriet where we went all around the UK, and we went to this Indian deli in Leicester.
Yeah.
Bobby's Deli. It's amazing, by the way. Uh-huh. And I think it came up that I loved Mira Soda. And he went, that's my wife's, that's her niece, basically. Uh-huh. I'll get her on the phone. And I said, please don't do that. Let's just get on with filming. And I turned away. He's a very charismatic guy, the guy that runs this. He basically wanted to show that he knew every British Indian in the UK, every famous one. So a minute later, he's holding out the phone and Mira Soda's on the phone. And I think I have a voice that frightens people, or there's something off kilter about my voice. I'm aware people think I'm stupid or aggressive when I talk. So Mira Soda just heard like, hello, it's me, Fern Brady. And I love all your recipes. And she was like, hello, I just had a baby. I have to get back to the baby. And I was like, okay. And I just wanted to kill myself there and then. It was.
I don't think that
horrible.
Had anything to do with your voice, to be fair. It's probably because she'd been called out of the blue by Bobby.
That probably happens about
25 times a day. Bobby calls. He's like, it's fucking Uncle Bobby again.
Yeah, doesn't really know him that well.
And then obviously she's just had a baby. I don't think she's going, there's an aggressive woman on the phone.
That makes me feel better. Yeah.
I think she probably thought like, oh, a relative's ringing me, I'll answer it, but I'm really, really swamped right now.
Yeah.
Oh, he's found someone I've never met and wants me to talk to them. I can't do this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was I just felt so embarrassed that I'd spoken to her that I couldn't look at her recipe books for like a year after. It was horrible. Well, anyway, I'm now back to cooking one of her staples, sleepy pasta.
Is it called sleepy pasta in the book?
No, it's called...
So you call it that.
Mira Soda's... This is it. Mira Soda's vegan recipe for creamy macaroni with sweet potato and gochujang.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
How'd you say that?
Yeah, that's right.
Use it all the time. Yeah. Can't say the words.
Yeah.
Make It Woods. I've actually, a producer that I worked with also, I think, calls it sleepy pasta or says it makes him go to sleep.
So you call it sleepy pasta because it makes you go to sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's disrespectful to
just
me.
Just like allergy pizza.
Because I think the reason it makes you go to sleep is because the sauce, it's such a delicious vegan macaroni. The sauce is made of sweet potatoes and cashews and a lot of sauce. It's like a very delicious, creamy, cheesy sauce and then pasta. And I think you have a big blood sugar spike.
Yes, I'm sure I would. But you know what? I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
Definitely make it.
I'm going to make it. Well, I'll leave a clear sort of 4 or 5 hours afterwards.
Yeah, if you think this guy's avoiding blood sugar spikes, you've got another thing to one thing I know.
I'm very good at managing them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very good at managing them.
See, because I was going to have a vegetable side dish. Oh, wait, no, I changed it.
It sounds like you were choosing a main for your side dish, sleepy pasta. That's why.
No, because if you order from like Caribbean takeaways, they have macaroni cheese as a side. So I was thinking, what things do I genuinely get as sides?
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, you do have really amazing vegetable dishes in restaurants sometimes, but nothing's sticking out in my head.
Yeah.
Then I hit on one thing, right? Yeah. Something I've come back to over and over again. Me and Alison Spittle talk about it a lot. Anyone I know who's gone to this place talks about this a lot. Yeah. It's... Bubala's confit potato latkes. Latkes. How would you say that word?
Yeah, latkes. Yeah.
Oh, I've not been there, and I'm very jealous to hear.
Yeah. You've been a Bubala?
No.
He's heard the word confit and latkes in the same sentence.
Oh, my God. Okay. Potato. Don't forget potato.
I went to heaven.
They're not traditional latkes. They're like almost a bit like, you know how Hasselback potatoes are sliced really, really thinly? I'm going to show you a picture because you might be better at describing them.
Oh my God.
There's something that if you order them...
Is it like layers? Are they thin layers?
Very, very thin layers.
So they're similar to the ones at Quality Chop House, the comfy potatoes at Quality Chop House, and they're just the best potatoes, so I want those right now. They look absolutely incredible.
So they've sliced up a potato stacked it up in a rectangular formation, and it looks the colour of bacon, is how they've managed to cook it. So it looks like bacon, and it looks like it has some pounded sugar on top of it even. I don't know what that is on the top, and a little splodge of like a white dip.
I think it's aioli.
Aioli with some red dusting on the top of it.
Ingredients, it's called tomb. I think it's similar.
Desiree potatoes and salted butter, God, garlic cloves, thyme leaves, vegetable oil.
Yeah.
It looks good.
And I don't normally like, there's a lot of potato things I don't like because potato makes my stomach feel weird and like stretched and bad. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you're allergic to it, Fenn. We've had this before.
You're clearly
this
allergic.
Is a pineapple situation.
Yeah, you're allergic
I
to a lot.
I should, because I found that I'd done a DNA test there where I found out I was 98% Irish. So I should like potatoes more and not like bread because a lot of Irish people.
I think that proves that you don't really have an understanding of. Yeah, carry on.
A lot of Irish people are celiacs.
Because they're celiacs. Okay,
more
yeah.
Irish people than the. I think, I don't know, a lot of my Irish pals are.
Yeah.
So that made me think maybe it's because they're meant to eat potatoes than. What are you going to say that it's offensive to Irish people?
No, I'm not saying it's offensive. I'm just saying I'm pretty sure you haven't got that right because you're 98% Irish, you should like potatoes more.
They shouldn't make my tummy feel bad. Like, I hate baked potatoes so much.
Maybe that's the 2%, though.
Maybe. Oh, my God.
What's the other 2%?
It was, like, all the places that the Irish had landed around the UK. But if a potato is very, very fried and sliced thin and all that,
I think that's such a good side choice.
Yeah, that looks fantastic.
They have another side dish that I nearly picked.
Do you want to shout it out?
It's their halloumi with black honey. And I normally find the combination of sweet and savoury disgusting.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate sweet and savoury food more than anything.
That's mine and anything.
Almost as much as patty, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the worst? What's the worst for you, sweet and savoury-wise?
Okay, so when I was growing up in Scotland, I thought I didn't like Chinese food because of the type of Chinese takeaways that you have. It's like things like chicken balls and syrupy
pineapple like sweet and sour
sauce.
Chicken sort of stuff.
Anything sweet and sour, sweet chili sauce is vile. It's in so many things. Like if you're
I'm so on board with this. Yeah,
like it's in so many things. I'm like, why do we have to have sugar pushed on us all the time?
The worst for me in British Chinese restaurants is the beef, the shredded beef, which is just like basically deep fried battery beef.
Yeah.
With that, like, syrup on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you love it, right?
No, I don't love it. I'm a big dessert fan, but I like when savoury elements or salty elements get introduced to desserts.
Mm. Yeah, that's nice.
I don't like it when sweet elements get introduced to my mains, even though I'm a pudding boy, it's my favourite course. But all the things you're talking about now, I don't like. And when we chose sweet chili sauce as our secret ingredient once, I think, you know, a lot of people were up in arms about it.
Yeah.
But I was so on board for it.
But a lot of people are so used to having sugar in all their food and it's vile. I also hate fruit in any kind of savoury dish.
I do like pineapple in a savoury dish, to be fair. I do.
My mum
like
puts it in so much stuff. And then she's always like...
What are you laughing at that? Because it's boring. It's always funny that I like pineapple.
It's always funny when James goes for an angle and then someone says, and also this, he goes, no, I do like that.
No, that's great. I mean, yesterday I had my Nando's wrap with the pineapple in it.
Yeah.
Just as recently as yesterday.
So you like pineapple in a savoury?
Yeah. I like pineapple on pizza. I like pineapple in my Nando's wrap.
So disgusting.
Yeah, I'm not, I hate that.
No, I like
it's
it.
It's so...
It just you bite into it and it just releases so much juice, it just floods the rest of the food.
No.
Yeah.
No, I only like the juiciest pineapple in the world, maybe. But like,
maybe that's
otherwise,
what I've been
just
having.
A nice little bit of flavour. Nice bit of something different.
But this honey on the halloumi works. Because
so
I quite sometimes there's
like
a pizza,
honey.
There's a couple of places that do pizza with hot honey on them. Like spicy chili honey, and I like that.
Okay.
I like that.
No, I've not heard of this.
I'm trying to find it to get the description. And it's also the way that they cook the halloumi, because often if you do it at home, I think there's something about the way you cook it.
Why haven't I been to this place?
Yeah, that's quite mad, because it's popular.
What's wrong with me?
Have so many, like, you know, like normally at the end of some episodes, we might both have like one or, you know, like a... And it's good. We might have a dish that we're like, oh, I want to try that in the future.
Yeah.
I think this is the most dishes that Ed has gone away from an
Jumping.
Episode wanting to try.
Never had that. Can't wait. Malatang, never had that. Can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to have Malatang and shout Bangarang at the same time.
Yeah.
These side dishes, both of them, can't wait. Going to go to Bubbler.
Yeah, you're going to go and get both of these things.
Oh, God, I'm in heaven over here. Yeah, yeah. But also hell.
Yeah, yeah. Your dream drink.
I've already brought up kefir or kombucha, and I'll seem like a dry shite if I say that.
You've got to pick what you like. Don't worry about seeming like a dry shite.
Well, no, basically, I don't like to drink very much because it's poison. Yeah. But I love, when I drink, I will try and have like the nicest red wine. And I remember one of the first wines I drank when I used to drink more, where I was like, oh, you can just have dead nice wine and not be hammered. It was one that they served at the Stand in Edinburgh, and it's called Baron de Bossac Carignan. How do you say that?
I don't know that.
Carignan.
But they just had it on the list, I think, because it sounds like Bossac.
It's a comedy venue. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. So that's really tasty. But I like a lot of red wines. Apart from Australia, Australia and South Africa, I didn't enjoy the wines I had.
Oh, really?
There.
They're meant to have good.
Australian Shiraz is one of the finest, I think. You can use some incredible wines. Yeah.
When I went this year, I had a lot of Pinot Noirs that I didn't like. I tend to like Malbecs or. But then Phil Wang was saying it's not always about the grape.
It's about who's growing it or where it's growing.
What country?
Yeah, well, what country and the terroir and the way that the producer works and stuff. So
I didn't think that I liked French wine for the longest time, and then I went to Paris this time last year. And they just, everywhere we went, they had really nice natural wines. And I drank a lot more than I normally would. And I felt sort of all right. So a big reason I won't drink is I'll get like terrible hangovers from two drinks. I'm going out tonight for dinner, actually. So I've been planning what wine I'm going to have for ages.
Oh, yeah? What are you thinking for tonight?
Well, it's a place where you have to get it by the bottle. It's a Bocca di Lupo.
Yeah.
And they have loads of nice Barolos, but they're like £100.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're hefty, those things as well. Yeah. And that'll be hangovers. I find hangover central with like Barolos and Barberas and things because they're so hefty.
I think I've got quite a fancy little palate.
Yeah? You got a fancy little palate?
Yeah, well, because my dessert is similar.
But also it's that thing... Again, it's that thing you're saying, like, if you eat, you want it to be a nice experience and, you know, it has to be good. And I guess it's the same with booze, right? You're not going to drink just to get pissed.
Like, I would, like, never drink a shot, and I couldn't tell you the last time I would drink something like that. Because, again, drinking a shot is the same as having crisps or poppadoms or croissants to me. It's a waste of time. Like, I don't need to get drunk to be my true self. Like, I'm just be yourself.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people just get drunk so they can say everyone's a dick.
Sure.
I need to get better at that for not calling people a dick, but going, I'm going to have a drink if it's a really nice thing that I want, rather than... So I did something last night, and then afterwards I was like, oh, I'm going to have a red wine. It was those red wine in cans, and I had about four of them. I was like, well, this is disgusting. It's going to make me feel awful tomorrow, but I'm just doing it for the sake of...
Genuinely concerned horrified. For you.
Yeah.
Like, actually concerned for you.
Yeah, so I actually had a red wine in a can over the summer because I was doing a gig in Brighton, and then I was getting the train with John Cairns back after, and something about John Cairns makes you want to drink on a train. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I just was so...
In a fun way.
So happy to see him because it was the first time I'd seen him after Taskmaster, I think, that they had these cans of wine at the gig. And normally, I'm like the most uptight person about drinking. It's to the point that annoys a lot of people that I know. But I was like, I'll take a couple of cans of dirty red wine for this train. And then we just had a gossip on the train and it was great. And I felt like shit the next day.
Yeah.
It's just the older I get as well. I can't drink most pub wine because there's something in it that gives you a bad hangover.
I genuinely agree with you. I think it's just like cheap red wine. But then I did it the other day. I was at a pub and just like, I'm going to drink red wine. And then you end up drinking large glasses of red wine. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you've had a bottle and a half of red wine and you're drinking at the same speed that people are drinking pints. You're like, there's nothing in this wine. It's just because I fucking necked a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Awful.
Do Do you know my drinking's actually, this summer's been the most I've drank in years, purely because I've been writing a book. And I keep thinking that I'm a French author. alcohol's marketed to us as this, like, sophisticated thing. And because I have, like, giant wine glasses in my house, I'm like, I'm middle class now. I'll drink a bowl of wine while writing my book. And then an hour later, you're just like, I'll tell you another thing about this bastard that I kicked with. And then you just have to go and rewrite it all the next day.
I'd like to read that book, though. Maybe your second book is just all the outtakes from this first one. People can get the juicy goss.
I've been doing the edits and I noticed she has cut the bits where I've just slagged off comedians when I've had a wine.
Because I always remember when we had Dara on this podcast, he talked about wines that he describes as writing wines.
That wine, he called it.
No, that was the one he picked.
Oh, and then
he had other ones where he goes, you've got writing wines, obviously, where you sit down at night to write material and you sit there with a writing wine. I'm like, I could never manage that.
My favourite thing with Dara, were you there? No, you'd gone home by this point in Montreal, or maybe you just weren't there.
Oh, yeah, you had a room party.
Yeah, we had a little room party at the end. We were watching the football. And Dara joined us, and he'd been to Dairy Queen and got one of those pint-size blizzards from Dairy Queen. And when he came in, we all talked. We said, oh, Dara, did they do the thing where they make the blizzard and then they turn it upside down and then they give it to you to prove that, you know, how frozen it is? And he went, yeah, it's so disconcerting when they do it because they look you in the eye and then they go, and then he just acted it out and he tipped it upside down and a pint of ice cream just went on Nisha's hotel room carpet. Because you just, and we're like, you like science. Did you not think it would have melted on the way up here in the lift? He was just like, he couldn't handle.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're all laughing a lot. Sophie Duker was in the room and immediately she was in charge of the tunes on the iPhone and immediately changed it to What's Your Flavour as soon as it happened. It was the best thing. Just seeing it. But he stared right at me when he did it and I just had to watch the pints go and just out in slow motion. He tried to catch it with his hand.
Within an hour, people who weren't in that room were going up to him and miming him doing it to him.
Everyone was doing it.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
Word had got out that Dara has gone mad.
Yeah.
We should get on to your dessert then.
Well, this was my suggestion. Cardamom bulla. Why are you laughing, Ben?
Cardamom bulla?
Cardamom buns.
Yeah.
Was that a good sort of general Scandinavian?
Nope.
I didn't know where in the world it was from. I'll be honest.
I said it more in Italian. I thought it
was Italian.
Yeah.
So tasty.
Yeah.
And I can make them, but they take a long time and it's very hard.
I was having a look at the photos, so I knew which buns you were talking about.
They're better than cinnamon buns, I would say.
I've been in Scandinavia. I just got back. I was so jealous. And they were these buns, which I'd never really seen much before, but they're in every single, just everywhere.
Just everywhere.
In a newsagent's, in a coffee shop, obviously, every hotel, like just everywhere I looked. They were selling these buns.
Did you have one?
I never had one. Oh. My tour manager was having them and enjoying them. I ain't good, but I didn't think I looked like anything that great visually.
Sorry, it just seems like if you were in Scandinavia, that would be like the number one thing to have.
I think it was eating princess cake.
What?
I've never heard of that, and I've been to all those countries, some of them multiple times.
If you go to Stockholm, you've got to get the princess cake. It's this cream and sponge covered in a big layer of green marzipan.
Oh, my God.
Jam in
that
there.
Sounds absolutely disgusting.
Is it disgusting at 9 in the morning?
Yes. Well, 9 in the morning is actually the time to have a cinnamon bun or a cardamom bun.
Yeah,
You can get them. They do have them in London, but it annoys me how much like they cost here. They do them in Gales. They do them in that place, Fabrique. But they're like 3 or 4 quid. Whereas, like you said, they're everywhere. I go to Denmark. I try and go to Denmark every year because I just love it so much. So, yeah, I love them, and it's a kind of bread.
So is it your partner has more cardamom bulla than you?
Yeah, he went, you don't like them. And I was like, no, I just don't eat all of them. Because whenever I make them, he eats them all, and I have to freeze some of the dough just so that it doesn't all get eaten. Uh-huh. But I can braid them and make them look proper.
Oh, nice.
Is that why they call you Firm Brady?
Yes, that was so quick. Oh my God. You know Evelyn...
For a living.
I wish I was that quick. You know Evelyn Mock?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
She had one of my cardamom bullet. She said...
Change your knowledge, say it every
time. She said they were tasty. Oh, and that they she was impressed as a Swedish person.
That's good.
I once made Evelyn Mock a completely dairy-free meal at my house when I first moved to London because she said that dairy gave her the shits and then she just opened a pack of chocolate buttons at the end of the meal. She went, yeah, I'll just shit myself.
Is that all that work you'd done?
I'd made a chocolate mousse out of like avocado and sourced some vegan chocolate and stuff.
I think if someone came over to my house for dinner and I'd made them a dinner and then I watched them deliberately eat something that they knew was going to make them do a horrible shit in my house, I'd be livid.
You'd be like, it's time to go home.
Like, what's the normal sort of countdown? What countdown are we on now that you've eaten those chocolate buttons? When is splashdown time? Because you've got to go right now.
She has a problem with dairy, but then, I mean, she was eating a load of halloumi for ages, I remember, so she just doesn't mind.
Oh, yeah. Evelyn's done routines on stage about just how, you know, she'll know something's bad for you. She, like, almost deliberately gave herself gout once and didn't give a shit.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The other thing I was going to pick, though, was I got really into fancy chocolate. So I got given a chocolate subscription box as a Christmas present. And it was like 3 months where this company sends you, I think it's like 4 or 5 bars of fancy chocolate. You know, like that Pump Street chocolate. And it's like 5 or 6 quid a bar. And then you're meant to just like delicately taste each one. And it has a thing with all the tasting notes. And it is dead nice. Every single time I got it, we just hoofed it.
All 4 bars.
2 days. And it's powerful. See, when you have like, what you don't realise is like fancy chocolate, it is like having a load of coffees, like, because something in it gives you a buzz. Yeah. So it's not just like if you ate a big dairy milk. I was off my tits on it. So I couldn't decide whether to pick that.
What, some fancy dark chocolate?
Yeah, but now I've started eating. It doesn't even need to be dark.
I mean, to be honest, I think it's fine to like have a cardamom aboula and then afterwards have a little bit of chocolate.
Oh my God.
I'll let you have that for your dream meal.
Thank you. Because once you start eating it, you can't go back. Yeah. It's like once you get into good coffee, you can't turn back.
As the saying goes.
I don't mind a shit coffee, though. I like nice coffee, but shit coffee's functional. Just a big bucket of shit coffee.
No. I would have tea rather than have bad coffee.
Do you worry something? Because I get the impression that for you, if you have like the best of something or the new, you know, you're the best you've had of something, you can't go backwards in any category. So do you worry sometimes when you have something and go, that's the best I've had, but now it's kind of ruined that entire food for me, or that because I can't now have a bad version of this?
It's something I think about a lot. Because I worry about going, like, I would never cope in prison because I've got to a point with coffee where I'll spend, there's this coffee shop in Edinburgh called Fortitude that I honestly think is, like, the best coffee shop in the UK. And they do an incredible strawberry-flavoured fancy coffee. It's about 18 quid for a bag that'll give you 3 cups of coffee. I can't go to prison and have Nescafe, which is what I imagine they have in prison.
I love that is the reason you think you wouldn't cope in prison.
Everything else,
else is fine.
Well, the social stuff and I could do the lesson off and all that.
Congrats.
But the food, oh my God, I'd have to get people to smuggle in coffee and single origin chocolate in their fannies.
I love the prison. I mean, fan's got another visitor today. We're going to have to do a cavity search because there's probably going to be some Ethiopian beans in there.
Pull out a whole bar of chocolate. Let me read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
Water, sparkling water, poplums or bread, Gale's potato and rosemary sourdough with Quick's butter, whipped. Starter, tofu zhangbing.
Yes.
Am I saying that right? Main course, malatang, top level spice, rice noodles,
donut.
Chinese savoury donuts, veg, eggs, lotus root. Can't remember if you like it or not. Side dish, confit potato latkes from Babula.
Bubala.
Bubala. Drink, Baron de Bulsac, Cabignan red wine from the stand. Dessert, Connor Mamabula. And then afterwards, some fancy chocolate.
Yeah.
Single origin.
Yes.
That's great. That's really good. I'm going to try it all.
That might be one of Ed's, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say at the time, the cardamom abula is not up my street. I'm going to say, like, bread, like, I don't really like cinnamon buns. I don't like bun-based things. Sweet breads is not my deal, really. But everything else, I can't wait to go to Bubbler.
Yeah.
And the jambing, I'm going to go and get a jambing.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I think you'll really like Bubbler.
Yeah.
It's all veggie as well.
Nice.
But not in a way that your meat-eating friends wouldn't even think of complaining.
They wouldn't even think of complaining.
Well, now you've told me that, I'm not going to go.
Yeah. Well, Fern, this has been a pleasure.
Yes.
Any other comedians you want to shout out for doing a shit? Seriously thinking about it.
All right. Okay, well, I'll say no then. I've already done two. Well, you would have to give me a prompt.
Yeah, we'll name comedians, and when you know they've done a really bad shit, you can stop us.
I suppose it would be like if you shared a green room with someone and they did smelly shits. I shared a Taskmaster house with John and Dara, and you all share a toilet.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
They were both clean. And
that's a nice note to end on,
you wouldn't
isn't
expect
it?
That.
You wouldn't expect that from either of them.
Dara and John, I'd expect them both to be pretty industrial bad shits.
Fern, thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fern.
Fern Brady there. What an ep.
My joke about that's why they call you Brady, probably my...
A real highlight, actually.
Really, really pleased with that.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've made a good joke.
A good zinger.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, your normal stock in trade is just weird shit, right?
Weird shit. It doesn't make sense in acquired taste. Finally, I got something that would work on paper.
When you were doing your speech at the Montreal Comedy Festival to collect your Rising Star Award, myself and Benito, very proud of you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
We're sat in front of a load of American and Canadian comedians who obviously didn't know who you were.
Yes.
You were making your speech, which was in your usual style.
Yes.
And the comedians behind us were really laughing, but then one of them just kept going... He's so weird. So weird.
And they weren't wrong.
Yeah, you were pretty weird, man.
It was a weird speech, and I regret none of it. I said that I was a rising star, and that Ed and Nish Kumar were also stars, and that together we were Orion's belt, holding up the trousers of the industry and burning forever in heaven. I regret nothing.
Neither should you.
And you know who else shouldn't regret anything? It's Fern Brady. That was a delicious menu. Sure, she's very happy with it. She made you green with envy.
Oh my goodness! I'm going to Bubbler.
Yeah, you're gonna go there. You're gonna get those potatoes,
yeah,
which looked astoundingly good.
And the halloumi. Don't mind telling you.
Yeah, yeah. Even the honourable munchins. You're gonna be going out and rounding up and eating.
Oh my god!
And also, Fern didn't say the secret ingredient. She didn't say. And what I would really love as a side dish is a little polythene bag full of chopped up onion that you get through with an Indian takeaway.
Yeah, madness that she didn't say that. I really thought we had a...
Yeah.
Do go and get Fern's book, Strong Female Character.
Yes.
It's out on the 14th of February. Buy it for a loved one.
Oh, Valentine's Day.
Why not have a little kissy over Fern Brady's bookie?
Oh, yeah, that's a good slogan. They told us to say that, by the way. Ed's not riffed that. That's written down.
No,
here.
I would never riff something as poor as that.
It's written down on the brief. It says, yeah. Why not have a kissy over Fern Brady's bookie? That's what we had to say.
Yeah.
So I hope you're happy.
I hope you're happy.
All the PR people out there. Listen, Ed, I've really enjoyed spending today with you.
Yes.
It's been fun.
Been fun, hasn't it? I don't think I've got anything to plug.
No, I've got nothing to plug, really.
Bye then.
Benito looked like he was going to say something, so we both stopped.
Yeah.
But he wasn't going to say anything. His face looked like he was going to say
Benito
something.
Benito is done with us today.
He's Danito.
Yeah. Mate, what's happened to you?
Yeah. That's another.
It's another
great joke.
That's as good as that's why they call you Fern Brady.
The great Danito.
The great Danito. What a shame we only record these once every 6 months.
Yeah. Never forget me, listener.
Bye.
I love the same.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer.
Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.